All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. Here we are on a Monday. I'm Kevin Keith. It's news and commentary, and it may get just a little hairy around here this morning, but it's time we all speak up on what we believe in, right? And I think what I say this morning when it comes to illegal immigration will not be much of a surprise to any of you, but if you're new for tuning in, it might be. Anyway, we'll talk more about that just a little later. First, I want to thank our community-minded partners here at the KNS Radio Network. We've got Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wappler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction in Frankfort, Probyte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, plus Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. Yes, we are going to talk illegal immigration or immigration this next hour or so. And it seems like so many people have been afraid to speak up. So many good-hearted Americans have been afraid to speak up and say anything against any Latinos for fear of being called a racist. And a racist used to be a pretty inflammatory accusation, but it's not these days. It's become just another buzzword. Our politicians use them, use it every day, and racial overtones and racist related words. Well, I think it comes down more to being passionate about your country, and it comes down to what is right is right and what is wrong. And I'm here to tell you, every single country in this world has closed borders where you have to go through quite a process to get in. Even to visit, even to go vacation in Jamaica, you have to go through the international line, right? You have to have a passport. You have to have some kind of identification that says you're only staying for a short time because you're not from here. And frankly, we don't want you here. And that's good. That's what all the countries say. Now, the countries where you have countries that back up against one another, where there would be a problem with people sneaking across the border or something, they all have walls. Walls have been around since the beginning of time. Look at the Great Wall of China built thousands of years ago. Look at all the walls that even back up with between Mexico and Honduras. It's a big freaking wall because the Honduran people don't want the Mexicans and vice versa, right? You can't climb this big freaking wall. And it's not too much to ask to come into our country legally, just like we want every other country to be safely a safe space when we go there, because we don't want to go to some country where they just let anybody in and don't keep track of it. Even our forefathers and our ancestors who came over on boats from other countries, they stopped at Ellis Island and signed paperwork, man, and indicated how many kids they had and why they were here and what they're wanting to do, even back then. And I can't believe within the first year or so of the Trump administration, remember Donald Trump, he put into effect an order where we weren't accepting immigrants from Middle Eastern nations for a while. At least I think it was like 8-month moratorium or something. Well, the Supreme Court struck that down. Or not the Supreme Court. It was some liberal court in New York, I think, struck that down and said that's racist. You can't do that. And all Trump was trying to do was protect our country. And now we hear about all these terrorist cells we have inside the United States that are just waiting to get their marching orders from their Hezbollah leaders, the ones that Israel hasn't killed. So that's a problem with Middle Easterners coming in who don't have our best interests at heart. But I wanted to talk today more about things that affect us here on a daily basis, here in Clinton County, here in Frankfort, here in the state of Indiana, and overall as Americans. We've all seen it, the sanctuary cities and all the fights with Department of Homeland Security and ICE and the governor of Texas not wanting these people to just come flowing into the United States, particularly his state, and then just go into all of our communities and do whatever they want, including not learning our language and raping and pillaging and plundering our kids. Now, you get into some of that, and I don't have the facts and I don't have the numbers to bring that to you today. I just want to talk in general terms that every other damn country you go into, they have some kind of wall or some kind of accountability system that you have to fill out paperwork that says why you're there and why you are or how long you're going to be there. Now, somebody said last week that with the Biden administration or Biden-Harris administration, however you want to look at it, there's not been nearly as many border crossings over the last 6 months or so. It's really fell off because the Biden administration said stop and they put some big stop to it. Well, they're not crossing the border. They're coming in on airplanes. Okay, so let's not fool ourselves. There's been this asylum overload in all across the United States where we're granting asylum to everyone. And that's why we have the Venezuelans in Colorado and the Haitians in Ohio and the Mexicans everywhere, all over the United States, particularly here in the Midwest. Three people contacted me this weekend and said, Kevin, I went to Walmart and it was like we've been invaded by Latinos. And I want to tell you, friends, that these three people don't know each other either. None of these three people. These are three separate individuals that I know personally, but I know for a fact that these people don't know each other. They unfettered without any prompting from me, sent me a text or a Facebook message this weekend and said they went to Walmart and they felt like they were invaded. It was just all Latino, and it was different times of the day too. Now, was it 100% Latino? No, of course not. But that was the vibe they felt. And of course, very few Latinos, at least the ones I've been around, speak much English, and they sure as the hell don't speak English when they're around each other. And some of them don't want you to know they speak English. And you don't know how to tell if they are telling you the truth as to whether they speak English or not. Now, I wish I would have taken the time when I was a little younger to learn the Spanish language for many, many reasons. And I still may try to do that, but it's hard to find the time to do it on your own. But I think it may be important, at least if we have a country for the next couple of years. Nobody's going to get on Facebook and say how they feel. Plus, city officials in Frankfort and city police, they're not doing much about Latinos giving us the middle finger in Frankfort, again, for fear of being called racist. Look how much trouble we had with the Gersport Hall at 500 North Main Street with these Latinos. This is a Latino nightclub blaring music till 3 in the morning. Now, has some of that been taken care of? I've not heard a whole lot of complaint about it recently. So maybe a little bit of scare tactics and some kind of ordinance through the city has got their attention. But it's still early, and this was the first weekend where that could have been enforced as far as going down and actually handing out citations. Now, did that happen? I don't know. I think I would have heard about it over the weekend or sometime yesterday on Sunday, but we'll see what comes out of that. Now, I see so many times, and I don't know, it's kind of funny. It's like there's never a policeman there when you need one. Because I've told you guys before that I live on the downtown Frankfort Square. I'm not homeless. I don't live on the square, but I live in a building above the square. And I smoke cigarettes, and I step down to smoke a cigarette because I don't smoke in my home. And just about every time I step out for a cigarette, I'll either see a big redneck truck with, you know, these extra mufflers and stuff, really loud, spewing black smoke into the air. As soon as the stoplight turns green, they just gun it, just put it to the floor and just really loud and really flat, fast, flying around the downtown Frankfurt Square. Now, if there was a policeman around, I would like to think that they would pull them over and say something to them, maybe give them a warning. Hey, don't do stupid shit like that. We got people walking around the downtown square. But these redneck kids and redneck older people in these trucks, they don't give a shit. And they've never been stopped. And I've not seen one pulled over in the 3 years I've lived here. And I used to smoke a lot. So I was downstairs once an hour. And all it's done is piss me off over the last couple of years. But again, not once have I seen them pulled over. Same with the Latino vehicles, the lowriders, the ones that have the glass packs and the ones who have done the aftermarket, whatever the hell it is they do to make the mufflers like super loud, where they go like 20 feet and they shift a gear and it cracks and pops really loud. I mean, really freaking loud. And it's real freaking annoying. And it's all the time. Now, is that against the law? I don't know. But again, I sure would like to see a Frankfurt City policeman pull one of them over and just say, look, man, don't gun it around the freaking square. We got people walking here. There's no need for you to be going 70 miles an hour between the freaking stoplights. But I've not seen that. And all I see is more and more and more Latinos in these lowriders squealing tires, hauling ass, and clacking these loud-ass mufflers for whatever reason. I'll give you the mariachi music. Play your music as loud as you want, within reason. So it's interesting. An interesting number is 63% of the student population at Frankfurt High School is Latino. And that's why our football team sucks. I can say that because I've got a kid who plays for our football team. They suck because of the 63% of the student population at Frankfurt High School being Latino. And you say, Kevin, how do you figure that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Here's what happens, friends. We have a large influx of Latinos, okay? It's 63%. So let's just say 20% in a regular, if we wouldn't have brought in all the Latinos, whoever's responsible for doing that 20 years ago. Let's just say we had 20% Latino population, okay? Our population overall would be much smaller. But since we had an enormous amount of influx of Latinos in Clinton County only many years ago, we've now got 63% of the student population at Frankfurt High School being Latino. And that, as a result, we've had a lot more students, which puts us in a larger class category, right? So when you become a larger school, like a 3A, you have to play 3A schools, which normally have a lot of kids coming out for football, and you get to pick the best from the best, and you get a competitive sports schedule. Well, that's why we're getting beat 65-14 every week, and we haven't won a game, maybe one or two in the last 3-4 years. It's because Latinos don't go out to play football. They're playing soccer and baseball and other things. They're the 63% student population, they're not going out for football. So we are a larger school and we have to play the Western Boones and the Danvilles and stuff and the larger schools, but in the West Lafayettes. But we don't have the kids to choose from like these larger schools do that are the same size as us. We're a large school now, too, a 3A. That's pretty good size. But we don't have the talent to choose from because we don't have the percentage of students per ratio going out, if that makes sense. I tried to put that in as simple layman's terms as possible. I went out to the BMV last week, and I sat there for a few minutes. I had taken a friend out who was getting his license back, and he did, by the way. Went out to the BMV, and I told him, hey, I'm just going to sit right here, and you go in, do your business, and I'll be here when you're done inside the BMV getting your license and your registration. And this guy had went a couple of years without his license. He hadn't been able to drive. I like to help out my friends, so I took him out there. That's a whole nother story. Took him out there. I'm sitting at the BMV for about, I don't know, a half hour, 35 minutes while he was in there. And almost everyone I saw go into the FSSA office was Latino. You know, out there at 200 at Roy Scott Parkway, they've got the new BMV out there across from Donaldson's. In the same building is the FSSA, right? The state aid. You could get cash, SNAP, money, insurance, whatever you need. And again, almost everyone I saw go in there was Latino. Now, some of them were probably legal, but I'm guessing most of them weren't. And who knows what the hell they were going in there for. And I don't know that they have a Spanish translator in there, but I'm guessing maybe they do. Because I guarantee you those people weren't legal or spoke any English. So everyone locally and even statewide here, they can pass the buck because it's a federal issue. And that's what the state representatives tell us, and they're right. But Mike Braun is campaigning on doing something about the illegal immigrants as governor. He's the Republican candidate for governor. And I got bad news for Mike Braun. What the hell can you do, Mike Braun? Well, there's not a whole lot he can do, or he would be telling us specifics, right? Hold on, let me get a drink here. Drinking water this morning. Already had my fill of coffee, that's why. All right, let me check one thing here, too. I'm a one-man band, as usual, this morning. Kevin Keith, by the way, here, news and commentary. So, the states need more control like our founding fathers wanted us to have. But when it comes to immigration, that's not going to be the case. Most of us Americans were outraged last week when we heard that FEMA doesn't have enough money to help current victims of Helene or any future Americans that may need help this upcoming hurricane season. So this made me look a little closer at this because I thought, surely not. That would be freaking absurd. Well, friends, guess what? Despite what you put into Google, and despite Google lying to you, that's true. Now, if you type in Google, type in FEMA money ran out, hurricane, illegal immigrants, whatever algorithm you want to punch in there, you're going to get fact check after fact check after fact check from liberal sources telling you that that's all a myth. It's all a myth. But if you go to the FEMA page put out by the Biden administration, they flat out tell you that we don't have any money. Well, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas set off outraged last week when he told reporters that FEMA doesn't have the funds to see Americans through the rest of this Atlantic hurricane season. That's after the agency spent more than $1.4 billion since the fall of 2022 to address the migrant crisis. We don't have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season and what is imminent, according to Mayorkas. So the Department of Homeland Security gets their fingers in this too. They allocated $641 million this year in FEMA-administered funds to aid state and local governments coping with the influx of asylum seekers. Now, I'm going to read that again. $641 million this year in FEMA-administered funds to aid state and local governments coping with the influx of asylum seekers. Now, I don't think Frankfurt's seen any of that money, but I don't know that we qualify. So, Mayorkas' office fired back late last week, insisting those funds couldn't be used for hurricane relief because Congress authorized them specifically for the migrant crisis, which is true, but that's a bunch of bullshit. At that level, we should be able to move that money where it's needed, as it's needed, and we sure as a hell shouldn't be moving it toward the migrant crisis. We just need to keep the migrants out. So DHS allocated $780 million last year for the migrant crisis, through the FEMA fund, the food and shelter program, which is funds relief not associated with natural disasters. It is unclear if federal officials have the power to redirect migrant-focused funds to natural disaster victims. So right there, everything the liberal media is trying to tell you is that we don't know if we could do that. We're not sure the government can do that. Well, guess what? You're the government. You can fix that shit. You can tell your other hand that, hey, we're going to take this money and go help these people in North Carolina. I'll read it again. It's unclear if federal officials have the power to redirect migrant-focused funds to natural disaster victims. Again, I don't have to tell you about the sickness and stupidity about our homeless veterans and all of our veterans needing home and help and rent and PTSD help and health insurance and food and basic shit like that. But we're giving it free to the migrants. And this is all the Biden and Harris administration. Anyone who could vote for these people and truly choose that over our veterans, what kind of terrible person are you? I didn't know you hated America that much, because the Democrats obviously do. And if you call yourself a Democrat and you support this bullshit, you're a terrible person and you don't deserve to be in America. Hispanic children make up 15% of youth in poverty in Indiana, despite only representing 11% of the state's child population. So we have so many Hispanic kids that they represent more in poverty than there's actual kids in the state of Indiana. 40% of Indiana's Latino population over 25 years old has less than a high school graduation. Now, to pick tomatoes, you say, Kevin, you don't need a high school graduation or a high school diploma. No, you're right. You don't. And you could maybe get through years of your life and your whole entire life without a diploma. But there's something to be said for an educated public and knowing, you know, the basics of having a high school diploma. It's not that much to ask. What about if all those jobs went away and these people need to get these jobs, another job, where a high school diploma is required? What are they going to do? They're going to sit around and they're going to live off the government even more so than they are now. And again, how can anyone vote for the irresponsibility of the Biden-Harris administration? You have to remember that there's at least 30% of the Democrats, and that's a number I'm pulling out of thin air. I think it's fair, though, that are just socialists that really want America to burn to the ground. I think there's about 30%. They're just Democrats. They're socialists. They want the worst for America. They got their head on backwards. But the other normal, quote-unquote normal Democrats, which is probably another 15 to 18% of the voting populace, who consider themselves Democrat, even they should be outraged at this shit and know that at least the Trump administration would be a better steward of the taxpayer dollars, whether you hate Trump or not. Get over it. So we know that Harris is getting 30% off the bat just from the wackos. So the funds are from a $10 million FEMA allocation that allows storm victims grants of $750 for groceries. This is what we've been hearing about over the last several days. All these people get this $750 check immediately for groceries. I'll tell you right now, $750, that's going to last about 2 weeks in the Keith household. If I put it exclusively toward groceries, that might feed maybe my family of four, who I keep on a pretty lean leash because the shit's expensive and we can only afford so much. Storm victim, that about $750. That's we spend at least $800 a month in food, and we're not eating steaks. We're not taking the kids out for steaks and shrimp every night here at the palatial Keith Estate. We're eating chicken nuggets and chicken fries, and if we're lucky, Shell will fry us a couple hamburgers with decent quality meat, and we're eating canned vegetables from Ruler and Aldi's. We can't afford to go to Kroger and just buy all the good meat. I mean, we can't, and I know you can't either. So the Biden-Harris administration took more than a billion tax dollars that had been allocated to FEMA for disaster relief and used it to house illegal aliens. This is fact, okay? Now they've abandoned American hurricane victims in North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and Tennessee. FEMA spending over $1 billion on illegals while they leave Americans stranded and without help is treasonous. And hell yes, I'm saying it. I don't care if you think it's racist. I'll say it again. It's treasonous for FEMA and the Biden-Harris administration to spend over $1 billion on illegals while they leave Americans stranded and without help. And now they're saying they're helping them, but they're not. They're going down there and trying to put a Band-Aid on it because someone put a spotlight on it. U.S. citizens are dying down there. This is serious shit. This isn't just, oh, the flood will go back in a couple days. The creek will, it'll rebound. It'll be fine. The creeks will lower again. You know, we're talking about layers and inches of mud all over these streets. That stuff doesn't recede. Mud doesn't recede. Rivers and lakes and streams recede, but mud doesn't recede. And when you have inches and feet of it in the downtown of your city, you know, you got to bring in bulldozers, man, and like bulldoze that out, and it's heavy and nasty and wet, and where do you put it? So a government accounting office report, according to this report, services provided to migrants included food, clothing, transport to airports or bus stations, medical care, legal aid, translation assistance, and assistance with booking travel. Those nonprofits said that typically the migrants pay for their own travel. The majority of the more than $10 million the GAO report looked at was spent on food and shelter, about 58%. The next two categories were per capita spending on individual food, shelter, health care, and transportation. DHS pilot program, the case management pilot program, they called it, provides case management and other services to those in immigration removal proceedings. Services include mental health services, school enrollment, legal aid, cultural orientation programs, whatever the hell that is, and connections to social services, as well as human trafficking screening and departure planning for those being deported. So even once they get deported or someone makes up, determines that these people need to leave, the United States government is still helping them fight against the government. It's literally one hand doesn't know what the other one's doing, or if it does, they're just jerking each other off. I mean, what are we doing here? So if a judge says that someone is a bad person and needs to be deported back to their country, there's services and money out there from our taxpayer dollars that help them fight that judge, whether they're illegal or not. Should a migrant go to New York City, they'll be eligible for prepaid debit cards, man. A pilot program there involved $53 million being spent to give families with two children $350 a week. The cards can only be used at grocery stores, bodegas, and convenience stores, and migrants must promise to only spend on food and baby supplies. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to keep their word on that, right? Authorities there said they wanted to see the program expanded to all migrant families currently staying in hotels. A family of four might be provided nearly $1,000 each a month or $35 per day for food, according to the New York Post. My family of four would like $4,000 from the federal government, $1,000 for each of us. We could live pretty damn good on that. The cards are replenished every 28 days. Are you freaking kidding me? New York State has also extended state-funded Medicaid coverage to individuals age 65 and older, regardless of their immigration status. In California this year, it's the first year that illegal immigrants are eligible for CalHealth. Illegal immigrants have been allowed to get free health insurance if they are under 26 since 2019, but in 2024, the eligibility was raised to include residents between 26 and 49. Here's a quote from Governor Gavin Newsom. Quote, in California, we believe everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care coverage, regardless of income or immigration status. Unquote. Can you believe that shit? We've been waiting for comprehensive immigration reform, us as Americans, since 1986. I went back and looked this up. President Ronald Reagan granted amnesty to most illegal immigrants in the country. At that time, it was about 3 million. Now, in exchange, he got in exchange lawmakers' promises to secure the border and penalize those employers who knowingly hire unauthorized workers. And we see how that's went. Here's some numbers from the ICE in just the past week. The new data on all the criminal non-citizens coming into the U.S. is shocking, friends. ICE checks the background of illegal aliens they have in custody. But the administration's letter this week shows that as of July 21st, 2024, ICE let 436,000 convicted criminals and 226,000 people with pending criminal charges in their home countries here in the U.S. So you're looking at almost 700,000 convicted criminals and people with pending criminal charges in their own countries are here in the U.S. Of those cleared by ICE, 14,000 have convictions for homicide. 9,500 have convictions for sex offenses. The convictions include other crimes such as assault, 62,000, robbery, 10,000, sexual assault, 15,000, weapons offenses, 13,000, and dangerous drugs, 56,000 illegal immigrants. About 7.4 million non-citizens are in the national docket data. So 662,000 is 9% of the total. So if you put the numbers to the homicide rate in this country, it indicates that our government is letting migrants into this country who commit murder at a rate 50% higher than the rest of the U.S. population. Can you believe that? That is numbers released this week by ICE. Here's the scary part, friends. These numbers underestimate the crime rate for these non-citizens. The non-citizens in the national docket data turn themselves in to border agents for processing or work hot. Those who don't turn themselves in are obviously far more likely to have something to hide from those doing the processing, the so-called gotaways, as Biden calls them, who were observed illegally entering the U.S. but not caught or turned back. The deputy director for ICE blames the quote-unquote enormous workload that agents face so they haven't been able to do even the limited background checks they're doing. There are so many coming in that the government can't house these immigrants until their backgrounds are properly checked. So as bad as these numbers may be, the reality is probably worse, friends. The Biden-Harris administration is cooking the books to make the border crisis not look as bad as it is, at least leading up to this general election. For example, mid last month, retired San Diego Border Patrol Chief Patrol Agent Aaron Heitke testified how the Biden-Harris administration ordered him not to publicize the arrests of illegal border crossers identified as having ties to terrorism. And you know why? It's because Democrats are liars and cheaters. That's why. That is treasonous. That is dangerous as hell for our country. Florida also has raised concerns over the cost of illegal immigration. Even before the Biden-inspired surge across the border, the state was paying $2 billion per year. Florida paying $2 billion per year to provide health care and education for the nearly 800,000 illegal aliens living there. Other services drain public purses as well. Last year in New York, a $2.1 billion state fund paid for unemployment and stimulus benefits to illegal aliens. It was exhausted in 3 months. Last year, Philadelphia elected to budget $300,000 to publicly fund immigration attorneys for aliens facing deportation. The New York City Council budgeted $16.6 million the same year for the same thing, man. Local taxpayers there should expect actual costs to exceed those budgets as the numbers of illegal aliens cases and appeals continue to rise. So last year in Philadelphia and New York City alone, $16.9 million was set aside to publicly fund immigration attorneys for aliens facing deportation. Can you believe that? It's been the case in Chicago, too, a city that continuously increases its funding for legal protection funds and refuses to allow Immigration and Customs Enforcement access to police databases and information. New York City's liberal Eric Adams calls the situation horrific. "We need help," pleads the liberal D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser. This is typical of many on the left. They say they push for a compassionate globalist utopia. Then when reality sets in, the pie-in-the-sky agenda comes crashing down and they cry for help and bailouts, and who can blame them? But it's hard to feel sorry for them. So why vote for Democrats? I'm having a hard time figuring it out. Again, you'll get 30% of the socialist whack jobs, but why vote for Democrats? If you just look at this illegal immigration, Senator Chuck Schumer is not even subtle about it anymore. His quote, "Now more than ever, we are short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way that we are going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers, and all of them. Because the ultimate goal is to help the dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here." That's a quote from Senator Chuck Schumer. Again, not even subtle about it anymore, because they've got the momentum with the Biden-Harris administration. So again, I've been waiting to put together a news and commentary like this, and in light of last week's debacle that we learned about FEMA not having the money. And if you go on Google to look that up, it'll say that it's all untrue. It's all a myth. But we know for a fact, because they let the cat out of the bag with putting it on the government websites that they're responsible for. So when FEMA doesn't have the money to help the next hurricane victims, again, someone needs to be held accountable for giving all this money and all these resources to these illegals. And I hope that those going to be held accountable are the liberal Democrats come this November 5th. I don't know what else to say other than I could go on and on all day about this. I could find more figures and facts for you that would get you even more pissed off. And I didn't mean to do this to you on a Monday morning, but I felt it needed to be brought to attention. And I know you guys are smart, and I appreciate that. But I thought if I did a little work for you, it would help bring it down to where we could all understand and see it on a local level, because it's affecting us locally, whether it's housing or our resources for the FSSA or people who really need it. I don't know how these illegals are getting all this help without even having a license or being here legally. So it's a double standard. Democrats lie and cheat. They're going to keep doing that. That's who they are. It's what they stand for. And we'll see how it all plays out this November 5th at the ballot box. Make sure you vote accordingly. If you'd like to pick up a free copy of the Constitution, I heard you can do that at Granny's Goodies in Mulberry. She's just one of our fine community-minded partners I would love for you to thank or keep in mind when you need these services. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction in Frankfurt, Probyte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. You get out there and make it a great Monday. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for Morning Sickness, where we play the best hits of the 70s and 80s. We'll have more news and commentary for you, plus some interviews this week from Rossville School Board members that'll be coming up leading up to the November 5th general election. Have a great day. I'm Kevin Keith from the KNS Radio Network.